T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rebbe. Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
What's up, Riff?
Are we back?
We're back. Coach will join us in a few minutes. He's tied up at the moment, so we'll get online with him. I was just reading about I mean, I think it's news. It's been in the rundown and the updates and everything, but the Olympics. The Olympics,
Yep, Canada just came out, right? Canada just came out saying that they won't send their athletes to Tokyo for this coming Olympics. So, you know, it gives some of those athletes some direction, you know, whether that's good or bad. I'm sure a lot of it's, there's a lot of upset athletes, but at least they have direction in which to take their life, right?
I understand the mass chaos and everything that's going on in the world and everything, and I get all that with the coronavirus and the number of cases globally and deaths. But from a sports perspective, could you imagine the chaos of the planning or replanning or canceling of, like, the amount of money that goes into the Olympics, just building the Olympic Village, building all the stadiums, building everything, hotels. Like, it's absolutely insane to think that to me is the mecca of sports. I mean, I know in the U.S. we have the Super Bowl, Europe has their, you know, the soccer leagues and all that stuff, the NHL. But this is, for me, the Olympic Games are, they're the absolute mecca. I mean, and I think the reason why I would even say that, it's the way that even the NHL players view going to the Olympic Games in the NHL.
Yeah, you know, listen, I mean, these athletes train their entire lives to get to where they are so they can go to the Olympics. And to have this situation happening right now, I'm sure those athletes are sick to their stomach. It's obviously very, very tough words for them to hear. That being said, I would hate nothing more than to be led for the next number of months and then be told, you know, right before you were supposed to go over to Tokyo, that you're not going. At least there's direction for these athletes moving forward. It's obviously a very, very difficult situation for all of them because they've trained so hard and have given up so much. But, you know, I feel for all these athletes. There's no question about it.
Do you know how many athletes were expected?
No.
11,091 athletes.
Wow.
206 nations represented at the
Yeah, I just, you know, for me, you know, like you said before, the Olympics is it's the mecca, and the amount of sacrifice that all of these athletes would have had to, you know, endure over years and years of intense training, it certainly puts a bad taste in your mouth. You feel for these athletes, and you know, again, I wish them all the best.
Other athletes not taking part in sports, NHL players. I'm just repeating to everybody what we've talked about here. You know, obviously Ottawa, a second case with the Ottawa Senators of COVID-19. We're waiting on Ralph Krueger to hopefully join our call here. I know he's been, I think he's been talking to media, if I'm not mistaken. So, should be coming on here in any moment. I don't know what the first thing is. You know what we got to ask him, number one, is how do you get on the call? How do you get on the webinar? He's doing the webinar, 400 coaches. 400 coaches, 9 European hockey federations, Sweden, Switzerland, Germany, Finland, Czech, Slovakia, Hungary, Denmark, and Great Britain. And I think Coach Krueger is on the line right now. Coach, are you there?
Hi, Craig. Hi, Andrew. How are you guys?
What's going on? First of all, 12 minutes late to the meeting. What kind of fine is that in the locker room?
I won't blame it on anybody, but I definitely would have been on the call if I wasn't on another. But it's good to hear you and at least know that I'm speaking to the passionate fans that we have in Buffalo.
So what are you doing, Coach? I mean, are you contacting with your players? What are you doing to pass your time in this crazy time?
Well, for sure, you need to put some structure in your day. I mean, we all went into a serious withdrawal on the day that the plug got pulled back in Montreal, and the shock of all that is and the speed with which everything happened was astounding. I mean, it wasn't day by day, it was hour by hour, and I think everybody has felt the impact of what, you know, this virus is doing to our environment. But I'm training, trying to stay fit. I'm also in touch with the coaches on two levels. One is potentially being ready for a mini camp if we're called to return and play some games. And the other is to, you know, analyze how we can, when that time comes, strengthen our players and their process, because we didn't really get proper end or exits to the season yet. So let's see which way it goes. At the moment, we're holding on to the hope that there still will be some hockey played, and until that happens, we won't take the next step. But yeah, just doing some things like that. Obviously, making sure my family's safe and in a good place, staying in touch with friends, and of course, very curious how things are going in Buffalo, and making sure that everybody's fine there, and doing the best they can to manage this situation.
Have you been in contact personally with all your players, and, you know, these guys all in quarantine, all in their homes? Have you been in contact with them to just kind of give them updates, obviously, and to kind of go over their training regimens and how they're going to try and stay fit through this time?
Well, at the moment, there's not a high level of coaching going on. We wanted to wait the first couple of weeks out. Everybody knows that they need to stay fit, and the communication has been taking place here with text messages. And, you know, I've been in touch, especially with the leaders, and it's branching out where everybody knows, you know, some of them have easy access to training in a safe way. Some of it's more difficult. Like here in Europe, I have to tell you guys, there are areas in Europe where if you went for a run right now, you know, you'd be in big trouble, or getting on a bike, people would stop you, and you can't even do exercise. So outside of your home. So it depends on where you are on the planet right now. But the guys understand that just keeping an aerobic base right now, we would need a reentry. Nobody can get on the ice where they are. So, you know, we would need a mini camp reentry phase. But, you know, let's wait out these first few weeks and start feeling some tendencies here. And then once the final decisions from the NHL are made, we'll move forward. I know that we'll get some time either way to prepare, because this isn't, even if we did re-enter, it's not going to happen overnight. But the guys are staying in shape as best they can. Yeah, the rest, as we all know, is an unknown.
Coach Kruger joining us on the line here, obviously Instigators radio only. You're doing a webinar Wednesday, 400 plus coaches, 9 European hockey federations from all over the world. You get nervous for that? What brought you to be the one to do that?
Well, what's happened is the NHL Coaches Association really has taken off in the last decade. We in general are looking for vehicles where we can give back to coaches, especially in the development phases of coaching, where the game still continues to have opportunity of growth. And when I was asked actually a couple of months ago, this webinar was already set up. Now it's falling in a strange time where nobody's actually actively coaching, but you know, we make more people on the call, and it's a there's a tool on the through the internet where I'll be and they'll be watching through Toronto through the NHL Coaches Association. So, no, I'm not nervous about experiences as a coach, and I'm pretty transparent when I talk about the things that I think are important, and hopefully I can add some value to each coach listening on the call. You know, the game of hockey has developed in an amazing way over the last few decades. I think we're, as far as speed and athleticism, and just the dynamic nature of the game, it's still got more room to grow if we get it right at the youth level. And so I love spending time with coaches like that and giving back, which we really don't usually have time to do during the season. But it'll be a fun thing.
Ralph, how are you chosen to be on this call? 400 coaches around the world, 9 European hockey federations. Like, how are you chosen to be on this this list of 400?
Yeah, well, it's definitely my international background. They they had, like, as an example, Bruce Cassidy spoke to the ECHL coaches last week, and you've got different coaches doing different specific areas. And my international, as everybody knows, I come through the international world, being at multiple world championships, Olympic Games, coaching in different countries here in Europe. I understand where these coaches are coming from and what the opportunity is, because it's also, a lot of them are coaching players that are hungry to become National Hockey League players, yet they play in Europe where the ice surface is a lot bigger. It's 2 meters wider or 6 feet wider on each side. And just the way the game is played, the more physical nature, the time and space is tighter in North America. And I'm going to give them some tips on things they can even train with the players here in Europe to help better prepare them to go after that dream when they get older, bringing that game more between the dots. I always say in North America, we naturally play between the dots a lot more than in Europe. The game seems to fall outside the dots, into the corners, falls into the wide area of the rink. And that's just an example of something where I'll be able to help these coaches just prepare their players better to go after that dream of the National Hockey League.
My question is, what kind of credentials do you need to get in? I'm asking for Craig, because I saw you can't see Craig's face, but he was bummed when you said it was maxed out. And all he's been talking about the last few days was, how can he get in? And I asked him, I think he thought that his 923 regular season NHL games and his coaching record at the Buffalo Junior Sabres would have qualified him into the 400.
Greg, I'll make sure I get you a link. I'll get you a link, but the other thing we could do is, next time I'm in Buffalo, we could just do a brainstorm and just increase your experiences, and you could ask him off the air with the questions.
now we're talking.
I like how you said ask some off the air questions, because the on the air questions aren't very good, are they, Coach?
They're really good. It's really good.
Could you help us in communicating with the world on what would be some good questions to ask?
No, you guys, you definitely tapped into the right nerve right now, because in the in this world of disarray, it's good to have a smile once in a while still. And your questions are fine, guys. They're good. It's always fun being on your show.
So you talk about Europe and you talk about the way the game is played inside the dots and outside the dots. And I was talking to Craig last week. I watched, it was on NBC, and I don't take you for much of a TV watcher. I don't know if you watch a lot of TV, but maybe documentaries. Have you seen The Russian Five?
You know what? I haven't seen that yet, and it would be a good thing to watch as we're all quarantined in our homes. But I have not seen that one yet. But I, you know, one of the first coaches that I ran across when I became a coach, and I'm going to date myself here. I started player coaching in 1989, and one of the first coaches I had the honor of playing against, the team I was coaching, we had an exhibition game against the Red Army of Moscow, and Tikhonov was the coach on the other side. So I was able to not only play against them in the early 80s with the German national team, but I coached against him and had, through a translator, multiple conversations with him in and around that game, where that whole block thinking and the group of five and the synergy they were able to create, it's actually something worth thinking about.
Yeah, I just thought it was fascinating, just from, you know, stylistically, how when Detroit put them all together, how they went out, they would roll in their five man units, and it was fascinating, because I don't think anyone had ever seen five on one line before coming to the NHL, and you get to hear Scotty Bowman talk about it, and you know, it's an amazing, if you get a chance, I would highly recommend it. But I just can't believe you were able to see Tikhonov and all those teams. Like, who else was on that team? Was Tretiak still playing then, or was he closer to being done?
Yeah, when I played for Germany, I was actually I played for Germany at the World Championships in 1986. And while the World Championships were on, Chernobyl happened in the Ukraine, and it was an amazing experience to be a part of. And at that time it was Larionov, Krutov, Makarov, Kasatonov, Fedosov, and Tretiak. So that block of five plus Tretiak in the net were the drivers, and the Russians won the world tournament at home that year while Chernobyl was actually going on. It happened at the end of April, and the World Championships ended at the beginning of May. We didn't even know Chernobyl had happened while we were playing the tournament because of the news blackout that they had. So we as players, when we found out, actually became instant friends. You know, it was only eight countries at the world tournament at that time, and you can imagine us finding out about Chernobyl and not sure whether the wind had blown to the east or the wind had blown to the west, whether we'd been hit or not hit. And so I got to know those guys on a whole different level, and I actually remained in contact and friends. And Igor Larionov and I still have contact to this day on a regular basis, and he came to visit me at the World Cup. And with Fedosov, I had quite a bit of contact in his political role that he had in Russia. So a friendship was actually born a long, long time ago in 1986 with those guys. So when you speak about the Russian Five, I had an interesting past with them.
Well, it's just amazing. I ask you about a documentary, and it's not just a show to you. It's real life. So it's kind of just showing us again how much better you are than we are, Coach.
No, it's not better. I just experienced a lot of things going down all these different channels, and all of it thanks to hockey. All of it thanks to our great game, guys.
Well, let me ask you this. Have you seen the Chernobyl show?
You know what? Believe it or not, my wife and I were just beginning to watch it, and we thought we were going to be in Buffalo for a while, but then, you know, the NHL lifted the restrictions for people based in Europe to go home to their families, and, you know, the Pegulas and Jason Botterill just embraced that right away, and they said, Ralph, you know, go to your family, and so we were actually just going into part three, so it's something I'll finish watching when I get back into our home in Buffalo.
Oh, amazing. It's an amazing documentary. Enjoy your time. Good luck with the webinar. And hopefully we can chat with you soon and see you back on the ice coaching.
Yeah, Craig and Andrew, I just want to wish all the fans out there really be safe, be smart, and you know, stick together. At the other end of this, hockey is going to be very, very important. Sports is going to be important. The Buffalo Sabres are going to be a great place for us to all come together and realize the things we have that are really special, and above all, our health. So I hope everybody listening stays safe and moves carefully through these next weeks, and I look forward to seeing everybody again soon in Buffalo.
Thank you, Coach. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Thank you so much for the call. Okay, take care. Bye.
You got it. Did you get everything you needed out of there, Riff?
Is it just me, or does it every time this man speaks, the only thing I think about is beer?
Oh, I know why. I know why.
Why? Why?
Do you want to save that as a tease for when we come back? I know exactly why.
It's unbelievable. Every single time I hear him speak, he is captivating, beyond captivating. And I'm going to tell you right now, every single time he talks, I think of beer, which is an amazing thing for me. And let's save it.
And not a great thing for me, being a recovering alcoholic, I might add. But, but that being said, you know, I'm glad you said that. But I got to tell you, I envision this man sitting in a wingback chair with like an ascot on. Do you know what an ascot is, Rips?
I do not.
It's like a nice silk scarf. Go look one up, okay? With like a warm brandy. He's just sitting there swirling the glass.
I'm going to tell you this, Petey. I guarantee you he just did this interview in a suit. White shirt with a little handkerchief coming out his pocket there. Amazing. most interesting man in the world.
Yeah. Well, tell us what that beer is when we return, and we got some stuff. We'll talk some Sabres when we get reconnected here. Stick around, everybody. Find out what the beer is that Riv is thinking of. If you know it, tweet it. See ya.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, nice enough of Ralph Krueger to join us a little bit earlier. That'll be on demand if you want to go back and hear it. Like, before we go on talk about some Sabres stuff, he might be he's got, forget about just interviewing. I'm just talking about speaking to in my lifetime. I think I've been very fortunate to meet some very intelligent people. But I feel like he might be right up there at the top of the list. You know what I mean? Like when it comes, it's not hockey. It's beyond hockey. It's beyond the hockey. It's mindset. It's a whole different can of worms when you're talking to him. No offense to anybody.
And listen, I'm going to do it no justice to try and explain when listening to him and taking in the information and how he speaks. He is incredible. I mean, he really is. He's genuine, and he, you know, when he says something, every time he says something, he makes you think. I think, you know, he's a man that's been through a lot in his life, in the game of hockey. I'm just talking about, you know, the playing. Have you seen the Red Army? The
Russian Five.
He was playing against those guys.
Yeah, he doesn't have to see it. He lived it. That's the thing that I think was when we were at break that we were most blown away. I said to Riv, those listening, I said, how about I just ask him about a doc? This is exactly how I said it to you. How about I just ask him about a documentary that I found to be fascinating, and he's gone on to develop relationships with those players, some of those players, because hockey, he played against them, right? Like he played against them in the world championships and stuff. And you're just kind of like, those are the experiences. Like that's why people don't realize that outside of the NHL bubble, there's a life of hockey out there that is so much bigger. It might not have the same dollars and same, the level of recognition that the NHL has globally for being the best league. But there are so many life experiences you can get just from international hockey. And that's what he talked about, just his international, his days playing the international. How he said, the 86 World Championship we're playing, and while Chernobyl was going on. You know, and then he develops a relationship with Igor Larionov, Fetisov, as he's become a political figure in Russia. I mean, it's incredible. So anyway, I just thought that was noteworthy that, you sit and you talk to someone, ask them about a documentary, and then you get sideswiped by, you know, the real life, I guess, reality and what it means to them. It means something different to everybody else, right? So
yes, most definitely lived it.
But anyway, Sabre related, you said you had something you wanted to talk about.
Well, you know, with reading an article the other day, what is it? Die by the Blade. Chad Diamonakis. You're talking about building the Sabres for 2020, and just what the Sabres are going to look like, how it's going to be shaped. Trying to do a realistic, you know, expectations, signings, and this that. It was just interesting to see. Did you have the time to read that article?
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
Talked about Sam Reinhart.
I didn't read the article. I'm looking at the scenarios that you're talking about.
Yeah.
So, is there one that catches you more than the other? I mean, for instance, you have Sam Reinhart, Victor Olofsson, Dominic Cahoon, Brandon Montour, Linus Ullmark, Lawrence Pilot, and then there were UFA suggestions and trade suggestions. Was there something to you that stood out, or maybe was in a positive or negative? What are you looking at?
Well, Sam Reinhart, he has him down as a 5-year deal for $35 million, a $7 million average salary. I like the idea of that. I think the Sam Reinhart camp is going to want a longer term deal. I think he's going to want somewhere in between 6 and 7 years. And I think they're going to try and fight for probably somewhere around $7.5 million or even $8 million. But I agree that Sam Reinhart should be no more than $7 million. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. So here's the thing. Of course I agree with that. I don't even think it should be at $7 million. And I don't want that to sound like I'm being offensive, because I think someone hears that and it has a negative connotation to it. And they think, oh, he doesn't like Sam, or he doesn't think Sam's good. Obviously, I think Sam's good, because I think he's worth between $6 and $7 million. Like, how are you insulted by that? Like, oh, he must not like him. He says he's only worth $6 and $6.5 million. Well, look, it's not that I don't like him. It's that there has to be a number that is feasible for your team, because there are other players you're going to want to sign, have to sign, and there has to be a number in which you're willing to sign this player to and not go over. Like, for instance, $7 million. $7 million. I mean, that's a safe number to gauge it at, because it could be a little it could or should be one way or the other a little bit. But realistically, well, what happened to the $9 million page that was just tweeted out the other day of comparables? I mean,
yeah,
I'm so confused that there's a $2 million difference between what one person says is a comparable and another person that says is a realistic and fair deal. So basically what it says is we don't know anything.
Yeah. Well, I agree with a Sam Reinhart at around $7 million annually.
Okay, you agree with that, but do you think that's what he gets? That's the question.
I wouldn't pay him a dime more than that. I'm going to tell you that right now.
That's not what I'm asking you. That's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you 5 years, $7 million. Do you think he's going to take that?
I'd be honest with you. I have no idea, Petey. I think that $7 million is exactly the range where Sam Reinhart could be. I could see him less than that. I could see him a little more than that.
Reminder, $7 million was where we thought Skinner should fall too.
No, we were hoping that he was going to be around $7.5 million.
I'm sorry. His comparables around him for mid 30 to high 30 goals was $7 million.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know that. I have no idea what Sam's going to get, because I think seven's too high.
I think realistically, Sam is probably going to be in around the $7 million range. So let's just move on from Sam. The Victor Olofsson in the article has a 4-year deal, $20 million, $5 million annual average value. I think
seems steep.
That seems very high to me. I don't feel comfortable paying him $20 million for only playing 40. How many games did he play in the league this year?
He had 40. He played 50 something because he had 40 something points, but I'll look it up.
No question. He's a fantastic. He played 54 games this year.
Yeah.
There's no question. He had a fantastic season. But I wouldn't be looking to sign him to a 4-year deal for $5 million. I just think 54 games in the National Hockey League does not attribute to, you know, a $5 million average salary. I could probably see him hopefully the same length of contract, but maybe $4 million. So I wouldn't be doing $5 million for him there.
I'd flip those numbers around. I'd do a 5-year for $4 million, but I don't know that I'd do 4 for $5 million.
Well, you have to understand that you're going to be buying or taking. Like, he's going to be turning 25. Victor Olofsson's turning 25 this summer, which will give him 2 years until he's unrestricted. I would rather sign him for the 2 years and where he fits out.
Dominic Cahoon on here was, I'm just looking down the list. It says 2 years, $2.9 million. Would you have to pay him that much? And wouldn't you want to lock him up to a longer term deal at a lower number?
You know, I mean, again, I would be looking at a 2-year deal for Dominic Cahoon. I wouldn't be looking at maybe 2.9, but I had him. I did my projections for these players too, and I had him at 2.5 on a 2-year deal. So we're not far off.
Why only 2 years?
Because I don't like signing guys to super long-term contracts if you don't have to. That's what my mindset is.
Okay, fine. But do you know what I see when I see this player? And I'm not talking about age and comparison. I'm talking about value of the contract and the numbers he'll put up. That like a Cali Yarncrook? He signed that. Like, if Cali Yarncrook were a UFA, he'd be getting $4 million a year, but he's stuck on a 6-year, $2 million deal because he signed it. Like, Nashville was smart. They also signed somebody else to a deal like that. And I don't know why that wouldn't be the type of deal that Jason Botcher would want to sign this player to, like that, where you can get him on a solid cap hit for a long period of time, knowing that on Chicago and Pittsburgh and Buffalo, I might add, all three teams he's ever been on, that he's performed. Even though he's a small sample size here in Buffalo, but in 6 games, he has 4 points. 50 games in Chicago or in Pitt, he had 27 points. So he's over half a point a game on...
Listen, Kelly Yarncrook signed a six-year deal for $2 million a year?
Yeah.
That was a very good deal for the Nashville Predators. And what I'm trying to get at is this. I'm tired of too many players winning the contract deal. There's got to be a point in time where we get some of these guys under a relatively favorable contract for the team. So for me, you know, we don't know what a Victor Olofsson's going to be in the future. He's only played 54 games in the National Hockey League. But I'd rather kind of, if you're going to sign him to a long-term deal, then it can't be at $5 million, okay? I like the idea of what you're talking about, $4 million. If you're talking about a Dominic Cahoon, who's played 2 years in the National Hockey League, that's put up pretty good point totals, do I feel that there's another level to his game? I don't know. I think I would hope so, but I don't know. That being said, I don't want to overpay him. I want to basically get him under a contract that makes sense for the Sabres, not only for next year, but maybe a couple years down the line.
Okay. Well, you know what? Next year, a couple years down the line, we have to go to break. We'll talk more about this down the line, probably tomorrow. We'll revisit this tomorrow. There's more meat on the bone, as they say, eh? But we got to go to break. And when we come back, we'll do a quick buy, sell, trade, and we'll do it based around this, you know, we'll figure out what that is. We'll do it after the break. But stick around. Final segment coming up. Don't forget, One Bills Live is next. And also, tonight on MSG, Game 6 of the 94 Eastern Conference quarterfinals. 70 saves for Hasek and 50 for Brodeur, 4 overtime periods. We'll be right back.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, we got a new buy, sell, trade, and that's presented by Buffalo Sports. Go to Buffalo Sports on McKinley Parkway, where you can buy, sell, and trade new and used sports equipment. And it's kind of a toss-up, Rivs. Canada won't send athletes to the Olympics if they're held in 2020. So buy, sell, trade. The 2020 Summer Olympics will take place in 2020. Buy, sell, trade.
So you're saying, to clarify,
they'll this, take place, but this, maybe not in 2020, maybe 2021?
Yeah, I could see. I was reading an article just this morning, and they were discussing about maybe moving back the whole Olympics for 1 year. And I could see that happening.
So buy, sell, trade. What do you believe in your heart? Will it take place in 2020?
Or I do not believe. I'm going to sell this. I believe that it will take place in 2021.
Yeah.
It just makes sense. I mean, to give clarity to all the athletes to understand what they need to do moving forward, I think that it will take. I think the Olympics will take place in 2021.
Yeah, I'm going to sell this as well. Just makes sense. Well, you know what it is? It's not even makes sense. It's just look at the. We're not even near the peak of this thing yet. So. I mean, who knows where the peak's going to be? I've heard, and I don't know what my sources are. Okay, I mean, it could be a couple months, could be 18 months. You heard that? 18 months?
Yeah,
18 months. I keep doing this from home over 18 months. I'm gonna have sores. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, listen, I don't even look any further than day by day. That's what's going on in the Rive household, and I know it's extremely difficult, but listen, life will be moving forward. We will get past this, you know, and that's all I got for you.
Positivity brought to you by Craig Rive. Great way to finish the show. Check in with you tomorrow. I think Marty's on tomorrow. It's his normal day. Don't forget tonight, everyone, on MSG, Game 6. Of the Eastern Conference. I think we're going to pull it up here. Do you know which game it was? The New Jersey is a four-period game. I don't know exactly which game it was. But One Bills Live is next. That's tonight on MSG, so make sure you tune into that one. Talk to you tomorrow, man.
Later, Petey.
See ya.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.